Hello and welcome back. I'm so glad you've tuned in because today we're diving into one of the most practical and genuinely fascinating topics in your GCSE chemistry course, chemical analysis, which is topic 4.8 on the specification. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking, tests and colors and precipitates, how exciting can it be? But trust me, by the end of this episode, you're going to see why this topic is actually brilliant. It's the part of chemistry where you play detective. You're given an unknown substance. And your job is to use science to figure out exactly what it is. That's powerful stuff. We're going to cover everything you need for the exam: purity and chromatography, gas tests, flame tests, ion identification, and instrumental methods. I'll also give you my top exam tips and a quick-fire quiz at the end to test your recall. So grab a pen, settle in, and let's get started. Let's start with the big picture. Chemical analysis is all about identifying substances, either checking that a substance is pure, or working out what ions or components are present in a mixture. Examiners love this topic because it combines practical skills with knowledge recall, and questions can range from 1 mark right up to 6 marks. First up, purity. In everyday language, pure might mean natural or healthy. In chemistry, it means something very specific. A pure substance contains only one type of particle, one element, or one compound. Nothing else. How do we check purity? We use melting points and boiling points. A pure substance has a sharp, precise melting point. For example, pure water melts at exactly 0 degrees Celsius and boils at exactly 100 degrees Celsius. If you have an impure sample, say water with salt dissolved in it, the melting point will be lower than expected and the boiling point will be higher. This is called melting point depression and boiling point elevation. Examiners will give you data and ask you to interpret it, so always compare the given value to the known value for the pure substance. Now let's talk about chromatography, specifically paper chromatography. This technique is used to separate mixtures and identify the components within them. Think of it like this. Imagine you drop a blob of ink onto wet paper. The ink spreads out, and different colored pigments travel different distances. That's chromatography in action. Here's how it works. You draw a pencil baseline near the bottom of the chromatography paper, pencil, not pen, because ink would dissolve in the solvent. You spot your sample onto the baseline. Then you place the paper in a solvent, the mobile phase, making sure the solvent level is below the baseline so your sample doesn't just dissolve away. The solvent travels up the paper, the stationary phase, carrying the components of the mixture with it. Different components have different affinities for the stationary and mobile phases, so they travel different distances. Now here's the key calculation you must know. The RF value. RF stands for retention factor. The formula is RF equals distance moved by the substance divided by distance moved by the solvent front. Both measurements are taken from the pencil baseline. The RF value is always between 0 and 1, never greater than 1, because a substance cannot travel further than the solvent. If you get a value greater than 1, you've made an error. Go back and check your measurements. A pure substance will produce a single spot on the chromatogram. A mixture will produce multiple spots. You can identify an unknown substance by comparing its RF value to known reference values, or by running a known sample alongside it on the same chromatogram. Right, let's move on to gas tests. You need to know 4 gases and their specific tests. I'm going to give you a little phrase to remember them. Hydrogen pops, oxygen glows, carbon clouds, chlorine bleaches. Hydrogen test with a lit splint, you'll hear a squeaky pop. That's hydrogen burning rapidly. Oxygen test with a glowing splint. Oxygen relights the glowing splint. Remember, a lit splint tests for hydrogen, a glowing splint tests for oxygen. Don't mix these up. It's one of the most common errors in the exam. Carbon dioxide, bubble the gas through lime water. If carbon dioxide is present, the lime water turns milky or cloudy. This is because calcium carbonate precipitate forms. Chlorine, hold damp litmus paper near the gas. Chlorine bleaches the litmus paper, turning it white. Note, it first turns red due to the acidic nature of chlorine, then bleaches to white. Examiners want you to say it bleaches damp litmus paper white. Now, for one of the most visually spectacular parts of chemistry, flame tests. These are used to identify metal ions. You dip a clean nichrome wire loop into the sample, then hold it in a Bunsen flame. The color you see tells you which metal ion is present. Here are the five you need to know. Lithium, crimson, red flame. Think. Lithium is a lit color, bright red. Sodium, yellow or orange-yellow flame. Sodium is everywhere, it's the most common, and yellow is the most obvious color. Potassium, lilac or pale purple flame. K for potassium, L for lilac, KL, keep that link. Calcium, brick, red or orange-red flame. Calcium is in bricks, brick red. Copper, blue-green or green flame. Copper gives a gorgeous blue-green. Think of the Statue of Liberty, which is copper and has turned blue-green. One important point, sodium gives such a strong yellow flame that it can mask other colors. If you're testing a mixture, sodium's yellow will dominate. Examiners may ask you about this limitation. Now let's look at identifying ions using chemical reagents. There are two main groups: metal ions identified using sodium hydroxide solution and non-metal ions identified using specific reagents. For metal ions, you add sodium hydroxide solution to the test solution. The color of the precipitate form tells you which metal ion is present. Copper ions, blue precipitate. Iron 2 plus ions, green precipitate. Iron 3 plus ions, brown or rust-colored precipitate. Aluminum, calcium, and magnesium ions all give white precipitates. To distinguish aluminum from the others, add excess sodium hydroxide. Aluminum hydroxide dissolves in excess, the others don't. For non-metal ions, carbonate ions, add dilute acid. Fizzing occurs and carbon dioxide gas is produced. Confirm by testing the gas with lime water. Sulfate ions, add dilute hydrochloric acid first, then barium chloride solution. A white precipitate of barium sulfate confirms sulfate ions. The acid is added first to remove any carbonate ions that might interfere. Halide ions, add dilute nitric acid first, then silver nitrate solution. Chloride ions give a white precipitate of silver chloride. Bromide ions give a cream precipitate of silver bromide. Iodide ions give a yellow precipitate of silver iodide. A handy way to remember: white, cream, yellow. Going down the halogen group, the precipitate gets darker. Finally, let's talk about instrumental methods. These are modern analytical techniques used in industry and research. The key ones at GCSE are flame emission, spectroscopy, and mass spectrometry, though you may also encounter gas chromatography. The key advantages of instrumental methods over chemical tests are they are faster, more sensitive, meaning they can detect very small amounts, more accurate, and they can analyze complex mixtures. Examiners often ask you to state these advantages, so learn them as a list. Flame emission spectroscopy works by exciting metal ions in a flame and analyzing the light emitted. Each element produces a unique line spectrum, like a fingerprint. This is more precise than a simple flame test because it can identify multiple elements in a mixture simultaneously, right? Exam tips, time. These are the things that cost candidates marks every single year. Tip 1, always state both the reagent and the observation. Saying add sodium hydroxide is worth one mark. Saying add sodium hydroxide, a blue precipitate forms, gets you 2 marks. Don't leave the observation out. Tip 2, the RF formula, it's distance moved by the substance divided by distance moved by the solvent. Not the other way around. Write it out before you calculate. Tip 3, don't confuse the lit splint test for hydrogen with the glowing splint test for oxygen. Lit splint, squeaky pop, hydrogen. Glowing splint, relights, oxygen. Repeat this until it's automatic. Tip 4, for halide tests, always add dilute nitric acid first. If you add silver, nitrate, without acidifying first, you might get a false positive from carbonate or sulfate ions. Tip 5, for sulfate tests, add dilute hydrochloric acid first, then barium chloride. The acid removes interfering ions. Tip 6, when interpreting chromatograms, measure from the pencil baseline to the center of the spot and give your RF value to 2 decimal places unless told otherwise. Tip 7, describe questions want you to say what you observe, the color, the change, the precipitate. Explain questions want you to say why it happens. Read the command word carefully. Okay, quiz time. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question 1, what color flame does potassium produce? Lilac. Question 2, what is the RF formula? distance moved by substance divided by distance moved by solvent. Question 3. What reagent is used to test for sulfate ions, and what do you observe? Dilute hydrochloric acid, then barium chloride, white precipitate. Question 4. What happens when you test for oxygen with a glowing splint? The glowing splint relights. Question 5. What color precipitate does iron 3 plus give with sodium hydroxide? Brown or rust-colored precipitate. Question 6. Name two advantages of instrumental methods over chemical tests. Faster and more sensitive, or more accurate. How did you do? If you got all 6, brilliant, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back to those sections and review them. Let's wrap up with the key takeaways from today's episode. 1. A pure substance has a sharp, precise melting or boiling point. Impurities lower the melting point and raise the boiling point. 2. In chromatography, RF equals distance moved by substance divided by distance moved by solvent. Always measure from the pencil baseline. 3. The four gas tests, hydrogen pops, oxygen, relights a glowing splint, carbon dioxide turns lime water milky, chlorine bleaches damp, litmus paper white. Form flame test colors, lithium crimson, sodium yellow, potassium lilac, calcium brick red, copper blue green. 5. For ion tests, always state the reagent and the observation to earn full marks. 6. Instrumental methods are faster, more sensitive, and more accurate than chemical tests. That's it for today's episode on chemical analysis. You've covered a lot of ground. Be proud of yourself. The best thing you can do now is close this podcast and try to write out everything you can remember without looking at your notes. That retrieval practice is what really locks it in. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode. You've got this.